Live from the Peoria Chamber of Commerce in Peoria, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, debut show, Everything Business, starring Carl Pierce. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, and Carl, I'm really excited. A debut show for you, and Everything Business, everyone needs it.
Everybody needs it, and thank you for allowing me to do this.
Oh, there's no question about it. We're going to have a lot of fun. Before we introduce our guest, let's talk about the concept of Everything Business. Your former, I shouldn't say former, you still do CFO work.
Yes.
Chief Financial Officer work. You're currently doing commercial funding, a lightning commercial funding, name of your business.
Correct.
And as a CPA, this is a perfect show to really educate people, because where do they go? I mean, they could go their CPA, their attorney, and, you know, spend $250 an hour trying to be educated. Not the best place to do that. And this is a show that's full of resources where between you and I, Carl, can really teach people the nuts and bolts about business, and that is critical.
Right, and nuts and bolts about business, and also how to expand your business or how to buy a business or how to help you get to a point where you can buy a business. And that's kind of what that's why I want to do this show, is to tell people or explain to people how to get it going. Or if they have a business and it's about to explode, how do you get the money to do it?
And that's critical, because people often don't know that. They don't know how to really look at their return on the investment. And that's where you come
in. Exactly.
And I'm excited. I think we're all going to learn a lot of stuff. The listeners are going to learn a lot of stuff. And it's something I don't think there's shows out there that I've heard of that will go into the depth and the knowledge that you and I have.
Well, that's what we're going to try and do. We're really going to try and get into the nuts and the bolts of it. And again, it's about lending, and so I'm kind of have a gear towards that. But there's six main things, and I'll just jump into
absolutely.
It. There's six main things, and it's credit, collateral, contribution, what they're going to put into it, capacity, character, what is your character, and of course, one of the other main ingredients is experience. So those are the six kind of broad topics that I'm going to touch on for the first few shows. But the most important one for most everybody, because it's not just for your business, but it's for personal, it's the owner of the business, it's credit.
Oh, yeah. And key for almost everything.
Absolutely.
Because if you're in business right and you have bad credit, try to expand. Not the easiest thing to do, right? Because you can't get a loan, or the loan interest rates will be high.
Right. Well, when I graduated high school, when I was trying to get a loan for a car, they either approved us or disapproved, you know, said yes or no.
Yeah.
Right? It was
either you're hired or you're fired, like the Donald will say.
Exactly. But we didn't know why. There was no reason. There was nothing. And we were just talking about this. And now, you know, you pull it up on the internet, and you can tell you exactly what your credit score is.
Yeah.
So, and it's so important that everybody should know about it, and everybody needs to know.
And there are services out there that not only your credit score, but they'll say why it is the way it is. You got too much debt. You have got some late pays.
Yes.
And so there's ways to improve your credit. And that is going to be pretty much the theme of this show, the
Absolutely.
Debut show, which
Absolutely.
Affects everyone, individuals, business. Credit is here to stay. And you want to introduce your special guest today.
Well, our special guest today is Wayne McPhee, a senior credit consultant at Go Clean Credit. He's been doing this for quite a few years, and I'm sorry, jump in, tell me how many years.
Just over 3 years now.
Just over 3 years.
Excellent.
And please, just kind of give me a little rundown of what you think is the absolute positively most important thing about a credit score.
Well, there's so much that goes into the credit score itself, but the score itself is really the most important thing. The higher the score, the lower rates you pay for money that you borrow. And everybody needs to save money, especially when trying to build a business.
That's key. Or even individual, whether it's building a business or not. I mean, everyone, usually, I'm guessing, will finance an automobile. Certainly a house. Credit cards want to see scores as well. So this is really critical.
So what is a good credit score?
If you're looking to purchase a home, your FHA loan is a 640. If you wanted to do a conventional loan, or you know, a loan that maybe doesn't carry PMI, primary mortgage insurance, you would need to be at around a 700 to a 720. For a small business loan, 650.
And 650 for a small business
yes, sir.
Loan?
For an SBA, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
Yeah. SBA 7A or 504, they're looking for 650 or above.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's certainly doable. It's not, I mean, is that considered a great score, though? I heard things under 700, sort of risky, right?
Depending, again, on the lending institution, but a 640 credit score that qualifies you for a mortgage really is more considered a poor score than a good or excellent score.
Gotcha. Yeah, and that's important to know. How about, let me ask you this, and we got a lot of questions because these are questions that the audience will want to know, but as I'm just sort of thinking of things, like let's say you're a individual, you're a couple, you walk into an auto dealership, what would be a good credit score for an auto loan?
A good credit score for an auto loan would be really anything over that 640 mark.
Okay.
To give you an idea, many of our clients come to us with a credit score in the mid-500s. These folks are paying anywhere between 25 and 30% interest for an auto loan.
So they can get it, but they're paying for it.
Exactly.
Big time.
And if they miss one payment, there goes the car.
Really? So it's that tight? Huh?
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, what would so interest rates now are quite low. So if you have a pretty good credit score, you could get what rates at
0%. I mean, many of the auto manufacturers offer 0% interest loans for what they call credit qualified buyers, and those are people that are going to be up around that 700 or higher mark.
Yeah.
Well, 700 or higher. What is the max?
850.
It is 850.
Yes, okay.
850 is the max. So you can't get better than 850.
No, you cannot.
Unless you bribe someone. No, I'm just kidding. No bribing in this.
No bribing.
That is interesting, though. 850. So you could walk in anywhere, pretty much, and obtain, unless you have the income. I mean, you have to have income to support this, right?
Correct.
So this is, the credit score is one element, but that's the basic element. Because you could have a bad credit score and a lot of income and still be paying through the roof in interest.
Well, it's interesting. Carl and I were talking before the show that, you know, I've helped customers or clients that were millionaires on paper but couldn't get approved for a credit card.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's interesting, isn't it, Carl?
That's fascinating. And that's where I think people really have to be concerned about their credit score, because getting that loan, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for the ability to pay back.
Yeah.
And it's all about that payback. So if somebody doesn't have a credit card or doesn't have a mortgage and has paid everything off, you know, that's great, and you feel comfortable and you're alive. And, sorry, Dave Ramsey, he's a great man.
Yeah.
I love what he talks about. But it's going to be tough for you to build your business if you have no debt.
Yeah, and I agree with you, because you can leverage that. And the payback can be tremendous.
Absolutely.
If you have this great plan and a history that, hey, it works under these conditions, we expand it, we could double, triple, quadruple.
Whether you just have one or two, actually, that's probably a good question. How many credit cards would a business need? I mean, I know, obviously, if a business has a credit card, the business owner is the one backing that credit card. It's not the business itself. It's actually the owner of the company that's saying, yes, I will pay that back, even though it says, you know, Joe's Auto Repair. It's Joe that's credit score that counts.
Typically, yes. They have to personally guarantee all their credit. And as their credit, you know, gets better and their business is in business longer and they have a track record of income, then they can, you know, transition from personal guarantees to basically corporate guarantees.
So, but how long or how many credit cards would you say is good amount? Too many, not enough?
From a personal standpoint, you really want to have three open credit cards that have balances that don't exceed 10% of the available credit.
Okay.
That's really kind of the key. From a business perspective, it's really what you need to operate.
You
know, what the credit limit is, if you have one card open with a $10,000 limit or you have three open with $3,000 limits. It's really what you need to operate.
And Carl, as you know, a CFO, you want to match what you use the loan or the card for with what you purchase for the business. For example, you don't want to use an open line of credit usually to buy fixed assets. You want a term loan. So,
right.
You know, so that's important too. And since this is everything business, you know, we'll, in between, you know, we're talking about credit, I think it's important for the listeners to understand that you just, I've seen so many clients get in trouble for using their credit cards for long-term debt.
And right.
I mean, it doesn't make sense, right?
No.
That never makes sense.
No, because you're paying 18 to 25%.
Yeah.
Or,
you know, but for a swing loan, I mean, for a bridge loan to get you over the hump, you know, for a month or two, pay
that
it right
works.
Back. Though.
Right. That works.
So that's something that I'm sure you see, too. In fact, would that be in some of the most common mistakes you see?
Absolutely. You know, credit cards really should only be used when you can go home and pay them off, when the bill comes in. Anything outside of what you have in your checking account to pay off that credit card really shouldn't be charged on the credit card.
Yeah, because it gets expensive.
Oh, absolutely. So that's an interesting thing. So you're saying that, and I think it would be really good for a business to have basic things go to a credit card, but at the end of the month, pay it off.
Exactly.
And that's actually good for your credit, regardless if it's 10% of your max credit line or 25%. If you're paying it off at the end of the month, that looks good for you.
Absolutely. Anytime you can avoid paying interest, you're really doing the right thing. But okay. When it's kind of hard to understand, but when you're trying to build credit, to pay off a credit card every month actually hurts you. Because there's no longevity or proven ability to pay
to
on a monthly basis.
Gotcha.
So that's why it's important when you're trying to build your credit just to leave a small balance on there and make minimum payments.
And debt to income is critical ratio, right?
That is a huge part of a loan decision. For a mortgage, for example, you know, 43% or higher of your debt to income will disqualify you from that loan.
Yeah.
So they really want to see less than 43%.
So what you have here, Carl, again, CFO, and that can mean you could also be a CFO actually for an individual if you think about it, is to plan. And so, Carl, how important is planning, whether it's an individual or business, to get the financial ratios in line that banks want?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, that's obviously, but that I believe is, you know, farther down the road.
Yeah.
But yeah, you absolutely have to make sure that the, you know, your, you know, EBITDA looks good. You know,
yeah.
Or your cash flow is in a positive, or you, you know, I think most of it is when you look at a loan and it's, you have to have revenues at least 125% of your loan,
yeah.
Or your monthly payment.
Yeah, so it's
absolutely very important.
And that's a show maybe in itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
The planning part, strategic planning.
Yes, yes.
But just so the audience knows that, hey, it's not just you know, blindfolding yourself and throwing the dart.
No, not at all.
There are specific skill sets that, Carl, you have that can plan out for people
absolutely.
How to reach their goals.
Absolutely. And actually, that kind of brings you to the next question, and that's, what's the most common mistake you see that people do or have fallen into?
Without a doubt, it's payments that go beyond 30 days late. A 30-day late payment, depending on your credit score, the higher your score, the bigger numerical impact it can have. But let's say you have a credit score of 700 and you pay late 30 days, that can lower your credit score by 90 points.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, one payment.
One payment.
Well, I had no idea about that.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
That's amazing. So pay timely.
If you're doing your bills each month and things are tight, pay the one that's going to be 30 days late before you pay the others, for sure.
Wow. That what other mistakes do you see?
Stubbornness in getting a bill, for example, and saying, well, I don't know that money, and ignoring it. It will go to collection or be charged off, and a collection hits your credit report. Again, depending on your score, can be a 100-point deduction in your credit score.
So how long does that take to fall off your credit report?
Well, 7 years. It can stay on there.
Oh.
And basically, with the numerical deduction that happens on your score will happen every month for 7 years. Up until that seventh year, right before it falls off, it may only be having a 5-point impact on your score, but the entire time it does have an impact.
That's quite detrimental. Why don't we take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion with a special in-studio guest, Wayne McPhee, senior consultant for Go Clean Credit. This is the debut show of Everything Business starring Carl Pierce. This is great. I think we're off to a great start educating people. We'll be right back. And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Thinking's Everything Business, starring Carl Pierce. I'm Dave Isaac, and we're broadcasting live from the Peoria Chamber of Commerce in Peoria, Arizona. Our special in-studio guest, Wayne McPhee, Senior Credit Consultant, Go Clean Credit. Carl, we're off to a great start educating our listeners on everything business.
Now, go ahead. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Sure.
So we left off with the fact that, you know, let's just say I have three or four late payments and I'm falling behind. Maybe I lost my job and now I found my job and I want to start cleaning up because I want to buy that house. What do I do? How do I go about this?
Well, the first thing would be to get in contact with Go Clean Credit. We would have you pull a credit report. A consumer report, the type that you pull on the internet, is usually sufficient for us to take a look at. And we'll identify anything on your credit report that's affecting your score negatively. So late payments, for example, we were just talking about in the last segment, collections, charge-offs, judgments, tax liens, just about anything that affects you, your score in a negative way can actually be disputed under the Fair Credit Reporting Act and the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And those are two laws that govern credit reporting. So if you contacted us, we would do a consultation with you to explain the process and what we would do. And we can help remove some of those late payments for you.
Okay, so you keep saying credit bureaus. Who are they?
The credit bureaus are three individual private companies that exist to gather data on Americans and their ability to repay debt. They were started originally in 1899 with Equifax. Were two brothers who just simply collected data from the merchants in town that, you know, was Joe creditworthy? Did he pay on time? And then just started selling that information to other businesses to find out if it was worth loaning to Joe and if he had the ability to repay.
That's amazing, 1899.
Wow, that
and
is
no
amazing.
Computers.
That is amazing.
No,
yeah, it's all hand-done.
It was all hand-done. And actually, Equifax, which is one of the three big credit reporting agencies, is not even an American company. They were founded out of London, and then now their headquarters out of Dublin, Ireland.
Wow.
And they were created in 1980. So that's a non-American company keeping data on American citizens.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of interesting. And then the TransUnion was established in 1968. And Innovis, which is the newest one, was 1970, one of the newest ones, not considered one of the big three that we see on our credit reports, but they do gather data as well.
How about Experian? Isn't that one?
Experian is one of them. Yeah, that was 1980. They're the ones located in Ireland.
Okay, that's the same. Okay.
So, but you're saying Americans, but this is worldwide.
Yeah, but for our intents and purposes,
okay.
it's Americans, people that have credit,
right.
I guess is maybe a better way to put it. And they gather all kinds of data, and they're in the business of reselling that data.
Where does Dun & Bradstreet fall in?
Dun & Bradstreet is really a business credit reporting agency. You know, it's not one that we work with on a regular basis because we do so much personal credit repair versus business credit repair. But they are another agency that gives ratings on businesses and their ability to perform and repay debt.
Wow, that's fascinating. I had no idea about the history, but it's sort of interesting when you learn about that. There's no question about it. So it's been here a long time.
It has.
But it's getting more, would you say it's getting more significant?
Well, I don't think that, you know, what your credit score is today is any more or less significant than it was 25 years ago. But today there's more transparency in what goes into creating your credit score, what affects it, and what you have, the rights you have as a consumer to make sure that it's being reported correctly and legally.
Because in the old days, right, we were talking on the break a little bit about this of, you know, like the old days meaning, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago or even longer, is that, you know, it's mainly for loans, risk analysis. But with insurance now, you know, that seems I don't remember
car insurance.
That. Yeah, car insurance, sorry. Yeah. And jobs, they all look at it. And when did these things come in? I don't think I remember these 20 years ago.
No, I think, you know, as far as credit checks go for applicants of a potential job, the first time I can remember that was probably the mid-90s.
Really?
You know, where they look at your ability to manage your finances as a character trait. You know, are you responsible? You know, can you handle your own money? And if you can handle your own money, do you have the ability to handle the company that's interviewing you? You know, so I think it goes to character so much when it comes to to a business credit check.
And I guess that's legal for them to check. Yeah?
If you apply and understand and sign the paper saying that you give them authority or the ability to pull it, yes, absolutely.
You know, a background check.
I mean, yeah, I guess they do that now, too.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, not to get off topic, but there are some topics associated with this, meaning is that fair to do? For example, you could have a horrible credit score because you just got divorced.
Absolutely.
And you had an ex that built up $100,000 in credit.
Yeah, between the time that you left and the divorce was final.
But you know what I'm saying? And then is that a reflection on, well, it's a reflection on your dating habits maybe.
Yeah.
But is it really a reflection on your ability to perform at a job? Maybe not, but I understand what you're saying. Generally, you're saying under normal circumstances, maybe it is.
Right.
And I think you also have an opportunity when you apply for a job to, you know, a narrative explaining, you know, why your credit is in the shape that it's in. I don't think it's always a hard and fast rule, but
right.
I have heard of people being declined for a job because of their credit.
Wow, really?
Yes.
I have not even realized that. That is fascinating.
Security clearances for the government are the same way. You know, somebody who may not be able to handle money in a responsible fashion and is, you know, has access to top secret information, you know, they see that as an issue.
A money grab, yeah.
Actually, that's interesting. Yeah. What do you think Donald Trump, what his credit score is? You think it's
I would imagine his credit score is probably pretty good.
I would question that. Because he's been bankrupt a few times.
He has. Not personally, but some of the businesses.
Right,
You know, it's funny, just the other day, actually, last night, I wanted to see, you know, you hear a lot about the Koch brothers, and this is not a political show, but, you know, they're big funders of certain candidates, and Donald Trump says he's worth, you know, over 10. It's questionable, but, you know, 4 billion, 5 billion, 10 billion. The Koch brothers, 36 billion each.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm going, wow.
And the funny thing is they probably have terrible credit because they have nothing in their name.
Yeah.
They own nothing. They have nothing. Everything's in a trust. Everything is not in their name. So if they're getting cash from someplace, they're getting it from a trust or some sort of estate planning.
But can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm thinking like, well, does it really matter, $36 billion compared to $10 billion? I mean, we're talking $1,000 million is $1 billion.
Yeah.
$1,000 million.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, to have 10 million versus 10 billion.
Yeah.
I guess it's a Cessna versus a Learjet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that. I mean, it's significant, but not, you know, so I was just trying to figure out that, you know, because they're Koch brothers funding other candidates, obviously not the Donald, but, you know, it's just sort of interesting. But anyway, so that's unrelated.
unrelated, but getting back to it, because I really like this company, what makes you different? What makes you different from your competitors?
Well, so much of our competitors really are a service. You know, they offer a fixed plan. Their business model is to keep a consumer in their program as long as possible with a monthly residual payment. Our programs are 6-month program and a 12-month program, and we, you know, try our best to get you out of our program as quick as possible because we know that the end result is you're going to be able to move forward with your SBA loan or with your personal mortgage. So we offer a money-back guarantee. There's not another company out there that does that.
Oh, wow.
Where we'll get you to at least a 620 or a 50-point increase in your score. And we're very effective. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau and a 5-star on Yelp. We've been in business 13 years and are a really, really good credit repair agency.
So give us some examples when people come to you. What are they coming to you for? I mean, I know it's to repair their credit, but there's some reason they want to repair it. They want to buy a house, a car, or what's some of their goals that they want to repair their credit?
The majority of our clients that come to us are in the process of trying to purchase a home. They've spoken to a lender. They've been declined, you know, approval for a loan because of their credit for various reasons. Too many open collections. The score is too low. And that's the majority. But we also get people that have identity theft and fraud on their credit report.
Oh.
We also work with a lot of clients that are trying to get a better credit score for a job. You know, if, for a background check has kept them from getting a job. So we work with quite a few of those clients as well.
So you're saying collections. So what is the difference between collections and a charge-off?
They're both, you know, the final disposition of debt. When you default with a creditor, they really have two options. They can sell it to a collection company or what they call a bulk debt buyer. That bulk debt buyer purchases that debt for 5 cents on the dollar.
Okay.
And they've got a legal right to put their name on your credit report as a new trade line and a right to collect the full amount that you defaulted on. A charge-off is really more or less a company saying to its shareholders that this is uncollectible bad debt. We're not going to be able to collect this debt. We're going to take it as a loss and move on. And it can stay on your credit report, and you are liable for the entire statute, you know, for the entire period of time, 7 years, for that debt. And at any time, they could come back and try to sue you for that debt. So neither one are good. There's probably not a lesser evil of the two, but they're both just final disposition of debt.
Now, there's a third option, collections, charge-off, but how about a settlement?
Settlement
and is that as bad as a charge-off or let's say a charge-off?
It depends. If the debt is open and you decide to settle it, you know, during the 08, 09, few years, there's a lot of people that had high credit card debt. And the companies, instead of just completely having a client completely default on it, they would accept a settlement. And so long as the language on the credit report said settled for less than full balance, you know, that would be better than a charge-off. But it still does impact your credit score negatively.
Gotcha.
And is that better or worse than a complete charge-off?
It's better than a complete charge-off.
So a charge-off would be 100 points versus...
settled for less than full balance could be less than half of that, 50 points perhaps.
Oh, okay. Nice. So it is a good...
It's definitely better to settle. Because the end result is if you don't, you know, the worst thing that can happen is they can get a judgment. You know, go to court, get a judgment, garnish wages, attached to personal assets. So, you know, it's always better to settle than just to leave it on there and do nothing.
And how long do they have... like collections to actually collect that debt, or is it just an infinite amount of time?
No, it's in the state of Arizona, it's 6 years for revolving debt and 6 years for installment debt. Okay. At that point, they can no longer legally try to collect it or take any type of action against you, but it can stay on your credit report for 7 years before it comes off.
So you can jump around from family member to family member just to hide from the collections people.
You know, some of the listeners may want to know the process that a creditor would go through, whether to sue or not, because certainly they all threaten. Like, you know, we'll go to court, and there's all styles of collections, but typically what I hear from my clients, the ones that they hear from the most are hardball collectors. I mean, you know, and they get pretty nasty, and we'll sue, we'll go to court, but they know the credit situation. I mean, they have a credit report. Maybe they've done an asset search. Do you think they would go and really spend the money to sue someone that has nothing?
The answer to that question is yes.
Actually, I can tell you yes. I've seen it happen. Mm. In fact, it was a very difficult situation where a woman was mentally disabled, and she got a $5,000 credit card from a credit card company that had sent her in the mail, and she's on $950 a month. So she had just enough money to pay her mortgage and just enough money to live, and they sent her this credit card, and she charged up to I think it was just over her credit limit and couldn't pay it back. They literally took her to court and made her sell her house.
Really?
I was amazed, but it actually happened. So, and I thought for sure the state, because she had a public defender, I thought the state would say, "Hey, she's mentally incapacitated. There's no ways that she had to sell her house."
That is amazing,
unbelievable.
It's not real common, you know, because there is a diminishing return for a company to engage a law firm or even use their interior, you know, collection arm of their company. But what we kind of see is on debts over $2,000, it's more likely to happen. On debts less than $2,000, it's rare. But there are collection companies that do. That's just their business model. They sue. It doesn't matter what the balance is. They'll sue you.
Wow.
I don't want to mention particular companies, but there's about three that we really are very careful with when we dispute with those creditors for our clients.
Wow, so forget the strategy that go ahead, sue me, because you'll get nothing. They'll sue you.
They'll sue you.
Oh, man.
And try to get something, whatever that is.
A judgment for while. How long does a judgment last?
10 years, and it can be renewed every 5.
But the max is 10.
Correct.
So after 10.
Unless they renew it. If they renew it, it can stay on there for another 10.
Oh, jeez.
So it could be infinite.
It could be.
Oh, my gosh.
If they maintain it and renew it, yes, it can. But interestingly, you know, they can get a judgment. A lot of people think, if I just avoid service, you know, if I just dodge the guy who's trying to serve me the papers, then I'm good. They'll never get a judgment. But, you know, if you fail to accept the service and look at the dates on the service, then they can get a default judgment, which just simply means now they're going to get what they want without you having the ability to go to court and defend yourself. So kind of a lesson is, if you ever get served or think you're getting served, accept the service and go answer the complaint in court and save yourself a lot of money and garnishments and everything else that goes along with it.
But I do think dodging, I think I know someone that dodged someone from a photo ticket, and after 3 times they stopped and they dismissed it.
Yeah.
All right. So there's but something. This is not that's, legal that's advice, not, so right. check yeah. with your attorney on
absolutely.
That one.
Absolutely.
But this is fascinating. I mean, it goes on and on. How did you know? You're so knowledgeable, Wayne. I'm really impressed. And how did you learn all this stuff?
For the majority of my life, I've dealt with finances and financing. And so kind of had a little bit of a background in it, but came to work with Go Clean Credit, and the owner of our company, Don McCraw, really just kind of took me under her wing and really taught me about credit and credit repair and how credit reports and what the laws are that govern it. And it's really just been, you know, continually reading and studying up, because it's a fluid industry. You know, it changes with the creation of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, You know, when that came into effect, there's a lot of laws that are in place and case law that can be used to help consumers.
So that's interesting. I mean, when I've been in the securities industry most of my career, you know, and the regulation has been just pounding on securities or broker-dealers or banks. It's just been crushing us. And how has it changed in the past 3 to 5 years for you guys?
Well, you know, because it really truly changes daily, you know, this business and what creditors are willing to do to try to keep, you know, keep you where you're at. Because let's face it, for a creditor, if they can charge you 30% interest for an auto loan, or they can charge somebody with a higher credit score 3% interest for an auto loan, taking balance into consideration, who do you think they really want to deal with?
Yeah.
Somebody that has lower credit scores, because the risk is greater, but the reward is much greater.
So
now, I think you said Go Clean Credit has been around for 13 years?
Yes.
So 2002.
Right.
Now, you haven't been there that long. However, both of you might remember about, 3, 4, or 5, about 2007, a ton of repair credit people started business. And you know why? Because the bubble burst. And so I really honor you guys. You were in way before that, and some of the ones that came in didn't have the best reputation because they were out. It was an opportunity on a specific instant.
And it was a lot easier, too. And I think consumer protection has really kind of put a hold on you guys.
So did that drive you nuts? I mean, I know you weren't there at that time, but did anyone say, hey, all these little companies came up and they weren't the most
reputable.
Or efficient or effective. They didn't know what you guys know.
And, you know, it was just kind of a sign of the times. At that point in time, you could just simply send a letter that says, this debt isn't mine, and then you could get it removed from your credit report.
Really?
And since there was so much loss going on by the creditors and the credit bureaus, they basically created a system called eOSCAR. And eOSCAR is a computerized response system that these creditors and credit bureaus can use when they get a dispute letter. And they code it, and then it goes through a process and comes back as verified debt. Because one of the main functions of credit repair really is forcing companies to validate the debt that they own. And with a collection company, it's very difficult for them to validate debt, because when they buy debt from an original creditor, what they're really buying is a spreadsheet with your name and contact information along with probably 500 or 1,000 others. So, you know, when we ask them to validate debt, they have to provide a document that you signed saying, I agreed to pay this debt, whether it's a contract or an agreement or an application. They have to prove that you owe it. And because collection companies were losing so much money, you know, during that time that you just mentioned, you know, 07, 08, 09, they had to do something to stop that hemorrhaging because they weren't able to collect that debt before people could dispute it and get it removed from their record.
Because it's not Home Depot that owns that debt. It's not Sears. It's not, well, it might be Sears. I'm not sure if Sears still does that. But it's not the big box companies that hold that debt. It's a bank.
Yes, exactly. Whether it's, you know, Chase or Capital One or one of the big banks, most of them underwrite the big stores, you know, like Home Depot and Lowe's, and you know, they do carry the debt, you know, and it was a very difficult process for the creditors to deal with at that time. That's why I say it changes. You know, they're constantly trying to figure out ways to keep a consumer from getting a leg up on them. You know, and when we dispute, we're simply using two laws that govern credit reporting. We don't do anything illegal, underhanded, or shifty. It's just simply applying the laws to that particular consumer situation.
So how do you dispute it?
It has to be in writing.
So you put it in writing, and do you have to, and on the other side, so the creditor, the collection company has to then have still that document so that hasn't changed at all.
No, it hasn't changed, but they've just gotten shiftier about the way that they do it. And whereas they'll come back and say, oh, yep, we validated the debt, it's valid. Well, if you don't know as a consumer that they actually have to provide a document with your signature, you would just go, okay, well, they validated my debt. But we know as a consumer advocacy company that is not the way to validate debt. It's not legal. A legal way to validate debt would be to provide a copy of that agreement that you signed to open that debt.
How often do you find these collection agencies not being able, for whatever reason, maybe because they're, you know, they bought it, they're two tiers down, you know, one sold it to another one and another one, and they can't even get it. How often does that happen?
We have a deletion rate on collections at about 70%.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's
amazing. Huge. It's like, who wouldn't do that then?
No kidding.
Exactly. And it is highly effective. It's just a fight all the time. And every day there's, you know, they're doing something different. Like one of the credit bureaus, for example, when we dispute, would automatically send a letter back saying that this is fraud. We're not even going to entertain this dispute.
Oh.
Yeah. So now you have to figure out a way to prove that the client is who the client is. You know, so it's constantly a battle with these folks.
Wow. And are you the one on the phone doing that?
No, our customer service department handles what we call the back-end stuff.
Okay.
I primarily deal with the clients that are sent to me from our lenders and our referral partners, and I'll do the consultation with them, explain our process, the cost, timing, and expected results.
Wow. That is just amazing. I do you ever do, like, educational pieces, even for people that, let's say people have good credit, but just so it's like a wellness maintenance program to educate them? Because even people with good credit may not, I'm sure, know everything you just said, because I had no idea. And is that something you do too?
We do a lot of different types of workshops, lunch and learn. The owner of our company, Dawn, is a certified continuing education teacher for the Arizona Department of our Academy of Real Estate. So we do a lot of different functions to help educate consumers, as well as realtors and loan officers and that type of thing.
So can anybody go to these classes? Or?
Yeah, really anybody can attend, so long as they're, you know, they receive the invite and they RSVP. Absolutely.
Wow.
So talk about how your programs work. Let's say you got person A, they're walking in. So take it from when they walk in, what happens?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, normally a loan officer for a mortgage company will be in contact with one of their clients who didn't credit qualify. Now, in the past, you know, a lot of loan officers just simply say, you're not qualified, sorry, there's nothing we can do to help. But so many of our partners today look at it as a chance to really help a consumer by saying, you know what, we can't qualify you now, but I'm going to put you in contact with this company, Go Clean Credit. They're going to do a free consultation, and that's kind of where we step in. The consumer will provide a report. We'll take a look at the report and do a free consultation to just to explain the process again, timing, costs, expected results. And then the consumer at that point has the, you know, a choice. They can decide that, yes, you know, I want to go ahead and repair my credit or I don't. And if they do, then it's a matter of getting them into our system and allowing our customer service department to start the dispute process.
So when you start a dispute process, and like we were talking earlier, the first break was, you know, I missed a payment, and I'm 30 days behind. How do you get that off the credit?
It really just becomes what's called a goodwill letter that we compose that, you know, says, hey, I've been a customer for Bank of America since the year 2000. I've had a spotless payment history, and I missed one because my credit card expired on my auto pay account with you. You know, and really, one late payment is really not, even though it numerically affects you horribly, you know, they are willing to, you know, to work with consumers. Most companies are to remove that late payment. When you see a history of chronic late pays, that's a little more difficult to try to ask a company to forgive those. You know, but even a consumer on their own can call and basically make that same argument.
So if you see, if I have five credit cards and in January I was 30 days late with one, in February I was late with another one, and but I paid, you know, I'm 30 days late with all five, but five different dates. They're not going to pull my credit and say, oh, you know, you're historically now late with a lot of these places. Or are they just going to look at themselves, or they're going to look at their bank and say, well, you know, you only missed one with us, so.
They're going to look basically at their own, your account with them specifically. But, you know, just the fact that you're chronically late with multiple accounts does not bode well for trying to secure additional financing.
Right.
You know, the people that you're applying for, whether it's a mortgage or any other company, is going to look at that and say, you know, that's not a real good history. Is this a good risk?
But you could take care of that if it literally is only one-offs,
yeah,
on each one of those, one or two. You should be able to pull those away and,
yes,
and get pull that credit 100 points or 50 to 100 points higher.
Yeah, 80 points is our average increase for our client's credit score, with about 70% of them, the negative items being deleted from their report.
Wow, that's wonderful.
That really is amazing. Now, can you go over some of the pricing that you offer customers? You said you had different programs. What can people expect as far as what it will cost them to go through a program?
Absolutely. You know, budget-wise really is the biggest driver between the two programs that we offer. But we, you know, for example, if you came to us and you had one collection on your credit report, we would work on that collection for $300, and that would just be the cost. If you had 20 items or more that needed to be worked on, we have a program price that's $1,594, and we break that up into six equal payments. So it's about $265 down and five payments of $265. And that program's guaranteed, money-back guaranteed, to get you to a 620 or 50 points. The 12-month program that we offer is not guaranteed, because over the course of 12 months, so many things can happen with regards to your credit that we don't feel comfortable, even though they're the identical program. You know, we really don't do anything different in either program. We just stagger it out so it's more affordable for the consumer. And that program is $199 down and $99 per month.
For 12 months.
For 12 months.
And the difference between the 12-month program and, I think it was a 6-month program, is what? Not just the time, but is there other differences?
Aside from the cost, there's really no difference. We use the same letters to dispute in both programs. The difference would be in, say, the 6-month program, we would dispute simultaneously with the creditors and the bureaus. In the 12-month program, the first month we'll dispute with the creditor, the second month the bureau, the third month the creditor, the fourth month the bureau. So again, just trying to make it affordable for the average person who wants to buy a home, you know. And the most people that come to us that have credit scores in the, you know, the mid-500s is about average, you know, or a lot of the younger folks who, you know, really haven't learned to manage their credit. And then that's really the bigger part of what I love about our business, is being able to counsel somebody and explain to them and teach them, you know, not only how to apply for credit and get credit, but how to keep it good, you know, what you have to do and what are those things that impact them the hardest.
So one thing we really haven't talked about or have really even broached on is, you know, where do you go when I've had a bankruptcy, or prior to bankruptcy, my credit scores, let's just say my credit score is a 700. I actually have a personal friend of mine, And it's a terrible story. He's been going through a divorce for literally 5 years.
Oh.
5 years. And
and they're not divorced yet.
And they're not divorced yet. And he is an 800 credit score. Oh. But he cannot afford the house payment and the alimony and the child support.
Wow.
But he's an 800 credit score. Well, you know, where, you know, does he go bankrupt? Or is there a better way? Is there something that, you know, is there something that you could help him with? Is that in that kind of scenario?
Yeah, probably, you know, what it really comes down to is his credit score is most likely going to take a hit. You know, closing a credit card, for example, could lower your credit score 50 points. So let's say you pay off a credit card that he pays it off and it's joint card with his wife, but because of the divorce, they want to, you know, cut everything off and not be on each other's accounts, his credit score is automatically going to take a hit. What I would suggest for somebody that's in that position is really try to restructure the debt with the creditor, whether it's a short sale on the house or whether it's a loan mod or a HARP, you know, program. There's ways out there that you can restructure debt without bankruptcy, because quite honestly, the bankruptcy laws have gotten so tough, mm-hmm. you know, over the last few years, that where years ago you could just pull the plug and do a Chapter 7 and erase all your debt and start
right.
over. Today, most courts, most bankruptcy courts won't allow you to do a 7 unless there's an extreme situation why they think you deserve to. Most bankruptcies that are being, you know, processed today are really Chapter 13s.
The reorganization.
Restructure.
Restructure and repayment mm-hmm. of debt.
Right.
And, you know, that's...
But it's usually around 40 to 50% of the debt.
Yeah.
It's not 100%, which is what really the bankruptcy is about, is I can't afford what I've done.
Right, exactly. So, you know, in your friend's particular case, my recommendation would be to approach the creditors and try to restructure the debt somehow.
And is that something that you guys could help them with?
We wouldn't do that personally, but we do have a settlement company that we work with called Instant Settle Consultants.
Okay.
And that's kind of what they specialize in, is helping settle some of that debt and try to negate or avoid some of the negative impact that's going to have.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, a common question that I hear from certain clients and out networking, and sometimes it's not even a question, but it's a comment of those who went bankrupt. They say that after the bankruptcy, it seems like they're able to get credit rather quickly or quicker than if they settled and then go bankrupt. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And you really, if you do get approved for a Chapter 7 and you're able to go that route, you can literally start redeveloping or, you know, applying for credit within the time that your bankruptcy discharges.
Wow.
Which
right.
usually you file today, 90 days from now it discharges. Mm-hmm. You'll start getting credit card offers in the mail. Now, granted, they're not going to be the most attractive credit
cards. Or they might be secured, where you have to put money in.
Yeah. Or they're going to be unsecured, where it's an extremely high interest rate
right.
with over-the-credit triggers, annual fees. There's all kinds of things that go with it. But you can pretty much immediately following the discharge of a bankruptcy start to rebuild your credit.
But
so prior to that bankruptcy, and I'm going to go the other way now with my friend, 800 score. What if I had a 490 or a 500 credit score? Is it really going to really affect me? I mean,
no, it actually won't. In that case, you're probably better off declaring bankruptcy, and most likely if you have a 500 credit score, you know, your income's not supporting your debt, you're probably going to be approved for a Chapter 7 versus a 13, in which case you would be much better off doing that.
Okay, so there are some cases where a bankruptcy might help you.
Absolutely, and we really understand that as a firm that helps people repair their credit, that we can't help everybody. And we know we do have settlement company that we work with. We do have local bankruptcy attorneys that we refer business to, because if we can't help them, we want to be able to at least point them in the direction.
Well, you want to help them some way, even though you can't help them. You help them by pointing them to the bankruptcy attorney or whatever. That's fascinating. Your company sounds so reputable, and I really like that, because, like I said, in 2007, 8, 9, I just
coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah, people were doing these loan restructuring. It was very common back there. Yeah. Do you ever do that, by the way, loan restructuring?
No, we don't actually do that. We do help people make sure that if they do go through a short sale or a loan modification, that the mortgage companies are reporting those trade lines legally. And that's so much of what happened, you know, that when that all started taking place in 07, 08, 09, you know, people were trying to do a short sale. Well, the credit bureaus didn't have language in their system for a short sale. Mm-hmm. So it always would default to a foreclosure, and it would say foreclosure started, settled for less than full balance. Well, that's really not a fair assessment of that situation.
Right.
But it was all they could do because the systems didn't allow them to have a loan modification language in there or a short sale. They had foreclosure and they had, you know, foreclosure started. So those are the types of things that we want to make sure that a consumer is not continuously being hurt every month because a short sale is not reporting correctly.
Right. Well, I mean, in 07, I mean, the average mortgage, you know, 98.5% paid off. So, yeah. I mean, it was so unusual for someone actually to foreclose on a mortgage. So, of course, it wouldn't be on the...
Yeah, exactly.
So we only have probably about 5 minutes, but a couple more questions because this is, to me, really fascinating, and this hour went by just really
fast.
Quick.
It did.
What's the biggest objection you would have from someone wanting your service? Is it an impatience, like, oh, I don't want to wait 12 months? Is it the fees? Or what?
I would say that the biggest objection that our clients have really is the financial part of it, you know, and then followed closely by timing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our clients come to us because in 3 months their lease is going to be up and they want to buy a house, but they apply and they're not even close to being able to buy a house because let's face it, so much of today you hear, you know, you can buy for cheaper than you can rent. You know,
yeah.
So somebody who's really not in the market to purchase a home because they haven't saved a down payment, you know, they're in a lease that's going to take them, you know, another year. They just simply apply because it's so easy. It's online. You fill out some information.
Yeah.
You get approval or denial. You know, and unfortunately, there's so many consumers that would rather try to buy a home today than rent that, you know, that's a lot of who we get. So the objections are typically, well, I can't afford that or I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing that your company does because you will sit down with them and really take a look at what they're doing prior to saying, okay, this is what I recommend to you, 3 months, 1 year promotion or your product. It's not that they're going to be walking in and saying, I need a check for X amount of dollars. It's let me look at it. Let me see what's going on. Let's really take a hard look, and then I'll recommend.
Right.
So it's basically there's nothing. It's a total free service.
It's a completely free consultation, you know, and whether they enroll with us or not, you know, it's really our goal to educate that consumer. You know, hopefully that they'll take our help, and that's how we stay in business, and we appreciate that. But really what's more important to us is the consumer and what they take away from that free consultation.
And I can tell just from, you know, and I just met you today, but you have such a great demeanor, such an energy about you that, you know, you just seem like everyone's friend. You want to help.
Absolutely.
You're not pushy. You know,
right.
What sprouted up in 7, 8, and 9 are these, you know, sign now or you're done. You know, but you're just here to educate whether they come with you or not. And I appreciate that about you. We only have 3 minutes left. Give some contact information, how they can get in touch with you and your company.
Sure. Our office number is 480-991-4885. Our website is gocleancredit.com, or you can email me at wayne@gocleancredit.com. And I would be happy to walk you through pulling a report if you're not dealing with a lender. Certainly set up a free phone consultation to review it and just kind of give you some ideas of what we can do and how long it'll take.
That's great.
Been fantastic. And thank you so much, Wayne, for joining us today. And debut show for Carl Pierce here, Everything Business.
Let me just do a little plug, because I want to say that I kind of do the same thing Wayne does, is if you're looking for that loan, if you're looking for something or trying to expand, we do the same thing. In fact, we go a little bit farther. We'll put together all the things that you need. We'll put together your tax returns. We'll put
a
commercial loan.
Yeah.
We'll put everything together. It will cost you nothing, and we will know prior to handing it off to a bank that are reputable banks that we go through. We'll approve it or not. We will tell you before you spend a dime. And we'll tell you what you need. We'll tell you, you know, you need to go to Clean Credit to take care of your credit score before this thing goes through. But we can help you with literally no money down.
So you have this similar process, different industries.
Absolutely.
You work together, and I love that. How do they get in touch with you, Carol?
Well, it's Lightning Commercial Funding. My phone number is 858-592-0659, and I'm extension 106. And if you can't get in touch with me, it's Abby at extension 105.
Perfect. And again, Wayne. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I just wanted to give an alternate number to the one I gave.
Sure.
480-544-2900 is a direct line.
Perfect.
Me.
Perfect. Wayne McPhee, thank you. Carl Pierce, this is great.
This
I can't wait till next the next show, and that will be next month. Everyone, have a great day. This is the debut show of Everything Business, starring Carl Pierce, Lightning Commercial Funding. Have a great day.